But Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. And I praise you, Father, for the cleansing work you're doing in all of us. I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that roots out all this junk that we carry around with us sometimes. And Lord, I thank you for getting us on the right road and putting those garments of praise on us. And Father, I just praise you that tonight's going to be special. And I thank you, Lord, for your anointing and your glory upon everybody that visits us tonight, Lord, that they see the love of Christ in every one of us, Lord. Not only that, Lord, I ask that you replace our heart with your heart, with nothing but love. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you train in our lips to speak only things of value to you, Lord. And I thank you for that. I praise you, Father, for your grace and your mercy on us when we stumble and gets us back up on the right track. And then your love on us a while. I just praise you for that, Lord. And thank you, Father, for being with us tonight and leading us and guiding us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Monroe.
Yeah, Michael, I'd like prayer for, well, for dizziness, but it's a lot better now. Whoops, wait.
Okay, in the name of Jesus right now, we come against that vertigo. We command it to go from her. We command it to go and never, I'm talking about never, come back upon her in the name of Jesus.
I am healed by the stripes.
Yes, you are, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right. Let's see. Is that you, Marlon?
I got my hand up there.
Oh, is that you, Malcolm?
Well, I've got my hand up. I don't know if it's Marlon, though. He may have his hand up, too.
No, that's you. You go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, First of all, I wanted to find out what happened with David's son. We prayed for him, I think, about a week ago. He was unconscious on the floor, remember, and we all prayed for him.
Well, he's not on here right now.
Okay. I have a family friend that goes way back.
Praise God, you got a friend, Malcolm. Thank you. Go ahead.
I've got a friend. Well, he may be the only one, but anyway. So I found out yesterday that he has been diagnosed with a brain tumor in his head. His brain that is they give him about maybe a few weeks to live, and they're trying to decide on what kind of surgery to do and whatnot. He's supposed to go into surgery today, but anyway, I got in touch with him while he was in the hospital there, and I went over very briefly the gospel. He's well versed in the Bible, but I just went over the soteriens and the sozo and how that covers not just salvation for sin, but the whole gamut, you know, and then Deuteronomy 28 and whatnot. And he understood what I was saying. So then I prayed for him. So I guess I would say I was a little surprised. He seemed very receptive. So anyway, I just want to lift him up again, just that he would, those words would take hold in his heart. He'll go back and look. Look up the some of the things I said in the Bible there.
Okay.
And I told him, I said, if you got you got a good Bible foundation for your prayers. You don't have to ask. You just you believe for what he's already done. It's already part of the package. So anyway.
What you got?
I don't know. Memory? Some kind of very fast growing cancer brain tumor thing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, go ahead. We'll believe with you, brother.
Okay, Lord, I just thank you for giving Fred opening his eyes to your word and helping him to stand and know his authority with you. And he's got tons of people calling him and praying with him and whatnot. I just pray, Lord, that you will just cut through all that and the gospel will... He'll go and study the gospel and you know, come to grips with it. And that he'll, I just pray for a great awakening in him and that you will use him mightily in your kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, for your promises and for your, for giving us your faith, the faith of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that Fred is going to receive and he'll understand and he'll stand in authority over all the power of the enemy. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hey, Dave.
He's kind of he's a high profile guy. So,
what does that mean?
Worldwide visibility. He speaks a lot. He has meetings and so anyway.
Okay. All right, Lord, we just thank you for changing his mind about the gospel.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
True to the chase.
Amen. All right. Anything else?
Well, I think a lot of us are going through stuff. I have quite a number of relatives that have cancer, and they're one cousin is not a Christian, at least that I know of, and has been heavily involved in Satanism. And so I'm just praying for these folks. That the Lord will just open doors to talk to him. And of course I want them saved, but I want more than that for, you know, they'll start really wrecking havoc in God and Satan's kingdom. So.
Yeah, go ahead, pray for him. We'll believe with you.
Okay. All right, Lord, I just pray for my cousin. You know, all the history there. And Lord, I just pray to you that you will just stop things in her life, that she can see you, that she can, that you'll open her eyes to your kingdom. You'll make a way for her. And also for all of her family, her daughter and husband and others. I thank you, Lord, that you're above, your power is above any other powers in the universe, and it's not a problem for you. So I thank you, Lord, for opening doors and guiding me if you want me to be involved in talking to her. And also I want to pray for my aunt, who the worldly people are telling her she doesn't have much time to live also, and I just pray that you will open doors for her, especially for her salvation, Lord, that she will be right with you. And I thank you also for cutting through all the stuff that she's had in her life and just reaching down and touching her and bringing her to you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that's it for now.
Okay. All right, Lord, we just believe with Malcolm that that's going to happen in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Dave, somebody was asking about your son. Is he okay? Not you, Malcolm.
Oh, okay, yeah. My son is actually...
Dave.
I'm concerned about him, though.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Your son okay?
Yeah, he's doing fine. He was just at one night. Something came on him. And we weren't quite entirely sure what it was, but after we prayed and cast it down, he was up on his feet within a few hours and moving around pretty good.
Praise God, David.
Sorry.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay, Malcolm. Did you have something else?
I was pushing buttons trying to mute myself. I'll listen and keep stacking wood. It's freezing over here.
Oh, okay. Well, you stack that wood, you get warm. Amen. That's a great thing about cutting and splitting wood and stacking wood. You get heated from it twice. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else for the prayer request or praise report?
Yeah, Michael.
Hi, Marta.
Yeah, I was going to give this last week, but about the time when you came on, I got really sick, and I know it was Satan not wanting me to give my testimony, so this week I'm ready for him, and I cast him down first, so he isn't going to bother me.
Amen.
But I had the... CAT scan, you know, and we prayed about that. I had that last week and showed there's no cancer in my body. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We got a good God. Do you know that?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for no more cancer. How much weight you gain?
Well, I haven't gained a lot of weight. That's kind of a slow process. I can't eat very much because I got a real small stomach, so yeah. I have to eat a lot. I've gained a little bit, but I'm working at it.
Okay. All right, Lord, we thank you for putting weight on Marta, getting back up to his 100 and whatever it was. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Up to regular weight. Thank you, Lord. Okay. That's a good one.
I lost over 40 pounds.
You lost 40?
Yeah, I lost over 40 pounds. And I didn't have much to lose at the start.
Yeah. Well, I could lose 40 and you never tell it, probably. After Thanksgiving.
Listening to Henry Gruber on that. Thing I was about where he was talking about.
Oh yeah, where was he? He was down about what, 80 something pounds?
I think he was down to 96. He said
96. Yeah.
I wasn't quite that low, but I was down to 106.
Yeah.
Or 103, I guess. Yeah.
I hadn't seen that since I was 3 years old. My. Good gracious. Thank you, Lord. Okay. That's a good report, Marlon. Thank you so much. Praise you. How's Gano doing?
He's doing good.
Okay. Praise God. Y'all coming down this Saturday? We'll put some weight on
you. Probably not. We're supposed to have a snowstorm.
Okay. Oh, my. You got him up there now? You in the snow?
Yeah, we had a snowstorm last week.
Oh, goodness. That's why I live down here. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Praise God. That's great news, Marlon. Thank you so much. I'll tell everybody what you said here at the fellowship. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, I thought maybe Greg had already said something. I didn't know.
Yeah, he did. Matter of fact, it was, when was it? Did last night or... Last night? No, it was Monday night, wasn't it? Monday night. What's today? Is this Thursday or Tuesday?
Tuesday.
I knew that. I was just checking y'all out. Let's see, Tuesday. Well, it was last night, I guess. Yeah, he gave the report.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was a good report. We all cheered.
We sure have been praising the Lord about it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anything else, brother?
Praise God, Marlon. All right. Love it.
It's I good. Need it. Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else? Go ahead, Missy. You know I got to mess with you.
I know. I can tell by the look on your face you're deliberately ignoring me.
Yeah.
I think it was Sunday. I was out on a walk, and I ran across my neighbor that lives next to me, and she had her little...
What'd you do that for?
Well, I didn't run over. I ran across
her. Oh. Okay.
I came across her we were walking, and she had her little dog with her, and her and her husband just spoil Fudge. Fudge just loves them. All they have to do is, "Hey, Fudge," and she's, phew. And she goes to the front door and waits to get in, and she walks over to their cabinet. She knows exactly where their treats are. Anyway. So I came across her when I was walking, and we were talking a little bit, and she was telling me that she couldn't, there's something wrong with her foot, that she couldn't wear sneakers, and she said she thinks she broke the bone in the side of her foot or something, and so she said she was going to go to the doctors, and I just, like, the Lord in me, the Lord just kind of, like, I just felt like he was, like, you know, impressing upon me to say something to her about praying for her. They go to, I think it's a Serbian Orthodox church or whatever. It's basically Catholic, you know, kind of very similar. And actually the pastor, I haven't seen him in a while. His name is DC, and I think I actually mentioned him. He lives up on the other street on the corner. But anyway, so I just felt this prompting of the Lord and this boldness to ask her, you know, about if she, I said to her, I said, "Do you believe that the Lord will heal your foot? Do you believe, you know, that God will heal that?" And she kind of looked at me funny, and she says, "Well, yeah," she says, I'm used to just always praying for other people. And I mean, it just kind of caught her off guard or whatever. And I said, "Well," I said, "do you want me to pray for your, you know, the Lord to heal your foot?" And I said, "You know, I'll pray right now, you know." And she says, she's like, "Well, yeah, okay, you know." And so I bent down and put my hand on her foot, and I commanded to be healed, and so on and so forth. So she was just like, she didn't quite know how to take it, but she wasn't like, she was kind of like surprised by the whole thing. But anyway, so, I said, "Well, just believe." I said, "I prayed for a lady down in Tennessee, and she had told me then later that later on that day the pain was gone." So I haven't seen her or talked to her since then, but I want you all to agree with me that her foot is healed. You know, because this would be just such an awesome thing for her, because I don't think it's normal for her to kind of believe this way anyway. But anyway, I one of the things I said to her, I said, God still does those things, you know, he still heals, you know. And so I've always liked her and, you know, talked to her and stuff. And I just like gave her a hug and I said, I love you. She's like, I love you too, Missy. You know, she was just like, it was neat. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you've healed Mila's foot. And I pray, Lord, that if the healing hasn't manifested yet, we all agree and command it to manifest very quickly in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for this gift to her, Lord, and that you just use it to increase her faith and to know that you heal and that you've never stopped healing and that you want us to believe you for all our healings in Jesus' name. Amen. What's interesting too is her husband was on list for kidney transplant, and at some point she got tested and she was a match for him, so she gave him one of her kidneys.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Now pray for her to get hers replaced.
Well, he needs to have two too, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. But
right.
But yeah.
Are they Serbians themselves?
Yeah.
Eastern.
Yeah, they were. I'm not sure if they were born here. I think they were, but their parents lived over there.
Okay.
So yeah. So Father, I just thank you, Lord, for that awesome miracle that they both have two whole new kidneys.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Replacing both of them. Amen. Replacing both of them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. That their eyes would be open, Lord. That their eyes would be open to the true gospel and not that stuff they've been listening to. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. That they'll come back to Missy and say, you know what? Well, doctor checked me the other day, and I got both of my kidneys back. Ain't that a miracle? Woo, Lord of God.
Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you that those two are ones that in this coming revival, if not before that, like Michael said, they're gonna know the true and the real gospel, and they're gonna read your word and believe everything in it, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right.
His name is Peto, and her name is Mila, and their name is
her name. His name is what? Peto.
Peto, kind of like P-E-D-O, except you almost kind of like roll it. It's almost like there's an R there, but you don't really pronounce it. I think I'm pronouncing it right because I've heard it Peto. But anyway, their name is P-R-P-A. P-R-P-A. That's the last. Purpa.
Purpa?
Purpa, something like that. I don't know. It's kind of.
Purple rain. No.
No. It's kind of a unique name, but anyway, so.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, good deal.
Thank you.
What else? Fudge needs some prayer, too.
Fudge, yeah. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that she will always stay this side of the road and don't go over the road. Here lately, she's been on a rampage, just running, wanting to run and play. She did that today because there was snow on the ground and she was having a ball. She was down the woods and everything. Like, okay, just as long as she doesn't go out in the road. That's my biggest. Now she's barking at Merle because she wants out. She's barking now.
Okay. All right.
Okay, bless y'all.
All right, thank you. All right, anybody else? Got a praise report or prayer request? You just like to pray about something. Yeah, Willie, go ahead.
Y'all have messed up and let me talk. It's going to be about 30 minutes.
Okay, go for it, brother.
No, but the Lord shared something really interesting with me because he's just, like I said, been leading me through the scriptures, you know, about our relevance in the scripture. And he brought a scripture to mind where Jesus said, where Philip said, you know, Father, show us, you know, he asked Christ to show him the Father and it would satisfy him. And he said, you know, Philip, have you been so long with me that you do not know me? You know, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Is this your sister one? Or your brother wants?
Yeah, but I'm
giving
fire.
Yes, I know. We'll see what he wants. And so the Lord, you know, was showing me how, you know.
You need a tissue and a baby wipe?
Open the door and ask him.
Oh.
Fatherhood. And so the Lord began to show me, you know, you have to claim, you know, people don't claim their identity in Christ. You know, they don't fully claim, you know, being children of God. They don't fully claim being in the image of Christ. And because of that, you know, they don't see the Father. And so he showed me a secret in there, you know, you really have to take hold of your identity in Christ, or you hinder yourself from seeing the Father in so many ways. You know, Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if we're refusing to take hold of our identity in Christ, you know, we're holding on to the doubt, we're holding on to the failures, we're holding on to past sins, you know, we're holding on to all these things, you know, that are the carnal man, you know, which is enmity with God, you know, can't even agree with God, you know. And then we sit there, you know, we try harder, you know. Oh, God, you know, I just want to see you. I just want to see you. And Jesus was like, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, and if we would just but take hold of our identity in Christ, you know, we'll see the Father. You know, we know our identity is in Christ. But, you know, we don't put that together. We, you know, we get saved and, you know, God helps those who help themselves type of identity, and we try to run with it, you know. But when we begin to claim, you know, the promises, you know, which is supposed to be, you know, even our nature in Christ, you know, we'll see the Father, you know. And so I did find that really interesting, that because we are not fully accepting, you know, sonship, you know, we're not being, you know, we're warring against that in our minds, you know, we're going through that struggle, you know, of seeing the works of the Father, you know, the Father bearing witness of us, you know, because Christ said, it's my Father that bears witness of me, you know. And so Christ was fully accepted of who he was. You know, we got to be fully accepted of who we are if we're desiring to see the Father. But I just found that really cool. All right, I'm done.
Well, that wasn't very long. That was cool. That was good, yeah. A little short dissertation. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else got a comment or would like to talk about something tonight? I have a little bit of something that y'all might be interested in. I have in my file a little video. If y'all would be interested in partaking of the visitation of a... No? Okay. Okay. Now, is Missy talking for everybody? Okay. What do you want to talk about then, Missy? Well, you're going to have to talk, but I'm tired. No, I'll tell you what I got. I'm always looking for something about prayer, because I know that we don't, most of us don't pray enough. And I found a compilation of, it's not but 6.5 minutes long. And I thought y'all might be interested in it. I'd like to talk about it after we get through listening to it. Is that okay with everybody? That don't make no difference. I'm going to do it anyway. Okay. Let's see. Okay. No, I would. If y'all didn't want to talk about it, we could talk about something else. But right now, we're going to talk about this. Okay. Let me get this going here. Where'd it go?
If there's any prayer that needs to be prayed in the Church of God today, as far as I'm concerned, it is, Lord, teach us to pray. Not teach us to want to pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us what it is. Teach us not the vocabulary, the disposition. Prayer is not an attitude. Not a latitude, an attitude. Prayer is not a position. Whether you kneel or face the east. Prayer is not a position, it's a disposition. That's why the Apostle Paul says that it is possible to get to that place where you pray without ceasing, where every moment of your life you're in an attitude of relationship to Him, not for something you want, but that somehow God might come again and breathe. You see, the answer to America tonight is not in the White House, forget it. The answer to America is in God's house. There was another man by the name of Payson. I like to alliterate that and say he was Praying Payson of Portland. He was a man who, when they prepared him for his casket, they discovered he had some hoofs on his knees. Tradition says that James, the apostle, had calluses on his knees with prayer. Payson had the same thing. In fact, before luxury came and we got so soft, he slept in a bedroom that had no covering on the floor. It had a hard floor like this. And at the side of his bed, they found two grooves. Two places that were worn 6 or 7 inches long and deep, and they wondered why they were at the side of his bed. And then somebody said this was the place where he always prayed. And actually, he had plowed two grooves in the floor of his bedroom in his intercession. He was a little Scotsman. He lived a few miles north of Chicago on the border of the lake. And I got to see him for about 10 minutes. He began to thank me for the books I'd written, particularly on prayer, and I hushed him and said, no, the honor is the other way. I'm honored to see you. Well, they carried him out of his little house on the 9th of February this year, and would you believe it? It was the first time he'd been out of the house in 12 and a half years. Never been out of the door of his own house in 12 and a half years. Never been to bed one night for 30 years. This isn't back in Finney's day or in the days of the when they were breaking the frontier here. This is in our day, in your day, in my day. Just a few months ago. Of course, they didn't put his picture on the front of Time magazine. If they did, I'd have objected to it anyhow. But this little man learned the art of intercession. He prayed every night from 10 at night until 5 or 6 in the morning whenever the burden lifted. Now somebody will ask me the question, did he sleep? Well, what do you think he was? Of course he slept. But he learned to do what the hymn writer says in that hymn, work for the night is coming, give every flying minute something to keep in store. He pushed the day around. In case you don't know, there are 24 hours in it. They're divided into 3/8. Normally, you work 8, you sleep 8. What do you do with the other 8? On the same basis, you live 60 years, you work 20, you sleep 20, and what do you do with the other 20? One of the hymn writers says, I often say my prayers, but do I ever pray? Like the little boy went to church with his daddy. His daddy bowed his head, did this, and the little fellow said, what did you say? Shut up. Because he can remember, never mind the Lord. Therefore pray. Always pray. I've said this often, and it's got me into trouble, but I'm still going to say it anyhow. I'm quite sure of this, that no man, I don't care how large his church, don't care how many books he's written, how far he's traveled, I do not believe that any man or woman is greater than their prayer life. If you learn this lesson while you're young, you younger folk, you know, nobody can impress God. Ever thought about that? The Spirit of God descended on a bunch of people at Hahnhut in Germany. You know, that in one sense is a more wonderful miracle than Pentecost in this sense. That, do you know how long that prayer meeting lasted? It started at precisely 11 o'clock that Wednesday morning on the 13th of August, 1727. And you know what? It lasted 100 years without stopping. That prayer room was never empty for 100 years. Little boys and girls, 7 and 8 years of age, would groan and travail in birth for revival. Don't go out and say like people say, well, I made up my mind I'm going to pray 4 hours a day after this. Why don't you make your mind up you're running the Olympics tomorrow? You've as much chance. You don't change overnight. We approximate to it. We get our muscles stronger and stronger in the place of prayer. You get to the place where you'd rather sweat, you'd rather weep in his presence than laugh in anybody else's presence. You'd rather God whisper a secret into your heart that breaks you. And somebody give you the prizes that all the world covets. I don't think I ever go to a prayer meeting but what I pray one simple prayer amongst others, and that is, Lord, teach us to pray.
In the middle of the Welsh revival, and remember there's a guy 26 years of age and he's already prayed 13 years for revival. They won't allow people to photograph him. The greatest preachers in America, in England, were there at the time. William Booth was there. He left his office desk to go listen to this 26 year old guy. The greatest Bible teacher in the world was there. G. Campbell Morgan, he left his office at Westminster and came to hear this young Welshman. F.B. Meyer came from the Baptist church. They were all flocking to Wales to hear a man who was anointed in the Spirit of God. He comes into a meeting, the biggest hall in town, had 800 seats. Everyone was packed an hour before time. And in comes the young man, everybody's waiting for him to come. There's one seat on the front. He went to the front seat, bowed his head, and he prayed for 3 hours. What do you mean? You think our congregation would do that? They say, hey, he's fallen asleep. For 3 hours, until he felt the rich or not. Then he stood up and preached for 15 minutes, the glory of God came down, and did what happened? Nobody dare leave the place. He went out at 10 o'clock and prayed the whole night for the anointing for the next day.
They discovered a group of people, underground people, who'd been praying 20 years for revival. No man, I don't care how colossal your intellect, no man is greater than his prayer life. To stand before men on behalf of God is one thing, to stand before God on behalf of men is something entirely different. You see, we want a revival, a painless Pentecost. We want something that won't disturb our status quo. There never has been a revival that I can trace that hasn't been bedded back there with true intercession.
That the trial of your faith being much more, you see, it switches from temptations. You can get over temptation in 30 minutes, maybe 30 seconds. What about the trial of your faith? The trial of his faith. I can't get over Saul Sanhedrin. Do you remember what he says? It was in a prison camp where urine was running down the side of him on a bed of rotting straw. The man across at the other side in the prison would reach down in his ragged clothes and take out strips of paper and uncurl them and read them and roll them up and put them back again. And he said he was the most wonderful man in prison. But the guards beat him more than anybody else. They gave him the hardest jobs. They gave him the least food. They made him suffer. He was a Christian. And Solzhenitsyn said, I saw there in a man a living Christ. And when that man year after year never complained, he took those little scribble notes out night after night, and his face would light up and he'd fall back and sleep. And he said, when I saw a man living the Christian life, that made me realize that Jesus Christ is alive. The trial of your faith. When a man gets intoxicated, he's blind to everything in the world. He'll face anything 10 times bigger than himself, 10 times stronger than himself. He feels something else inside of him. Surely that should be us, when we're really filled with God. God can sustain me like he hangs the moon on nothing and hangs the world on nothing. And all he's looking is for us to be exhibitions of his grace. He wants us to be living epistles. That when people don't read the book, they read your life and say, how did that fella get over that difficulty? How did he get over that betrayal? And sometimes God doesn't take the pressure off.
The cross beckons the man to be sick of himself.
And if you haven't been to the cross, there is no salvation and there is no forgiveness.
God's looking for people that'll say yes.
Be washed in the blood of Jesus.
To live as Christ and to die is his.
You've got Moses with 120 years, 40 years if you read the 7th of Acts, he studied in the universities, he was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptians, he knew maybe 10 languages, he was a statesman before ever he got the 10 commandments. But where did he learn his trade? On the backside of the desert? He'd been wearing royal robes and lived in all the splendor of the greatest empire in the world, and God takes him away and throws him on the back of the desert. Not for 40 days, not for 40 weeks, not for 40 months, for 40 years. But what do you expect better treatment? Moses on the backside of the desert and God communed with him. And God takes all his men there.
We're going to have no broken-hearted people till we have broken-hearted preachers. Let the priest weep between the altar and the doorpost. It's amazing when you think of it, you know. There's no way that you can organize revival. It doesn't need to be advertised. It can't be subsidized. It can't be nationalized. It can't be denominationalized. And it sure can't be rationalized.
You see, preacher, you've only 2 things to do, not 22. You're not supposed to be the janitor and be running a business and finding about the church's bank balance and all that junk. If you're going to be a true biblical preacher, you've got 2 things to do according to Acts 6:4. Give yourself continually to prayer and the Word of God. That's all you have to do.
The only reason you can believe that Jesus Christ may come today is at this very moment you have on your wedding dress. You're walking in purity. You haven't got a grudge in your heart against anybody. You can say, Lord Jesus, come now.
The most astounding miracle in the world to me is a person to be born again, to be completely delivered from bondage, from sin, from uncleanness, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, renouncing the world, the flesh and the devil, renouncing all its pleasure, its pomp and its pride. I very much doubt people are saved if they don't have an intoxicating love with Jesus, if they don't quit the world, the flesh and the devil. Love not the world. You can't love the world and love Christ. It's not possible. That personality of yours can be governed by God. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Listen, friend, you're only here to eternity to mature. And once you slip over the edge of time into eternity, whether you're on the broad way or the narrow way, there's no U-turn to go back. It's direct to the throne. Direct to the throne.
Okay. How many? I got some questions to ask here. And all you have to do is raise your hand. Don't lie. That's a sin. How many of you pray for 4 hours a day? How many of you pray 2 hours a day? I'm going to raise my hand when it's applicable to me, maybe. How many of you pray for an hour a day, every day? Okay, there's one. How many of you pray? Okay, there's two. Obadiah raised his hand. I saw him. Okay. How many of you pray for 30 minutes a day? Okay, I got Sue. I got Matt and Willie. I got, that's three or four. How many of you pray for 15 minutes a day? I'm talking about every day now. I'm not talking about just a hit and miss here and there. Okay. All right. Now, how many of you pray 5 minutes a day? Okay. How many of you don't pray? 2 minutes a day. Okay. The reason I did that is to show everybody that prayer, most generally, is a very laborious type of action that God requires of us until, by the way, I generally pray somewhere around 30 to 40 minutes a day. And that ain't every day either, so I'll just be honest with you. I don't have a carpet down here that's got holes dug in it from my knees. I'll just be honest with you, you know. I should have. I've never been one that really prayed a lot, other than when there was an immediate put out the fire type of prayer needed, you know. Instead of what we used to call in the industrial world as a maintenance supervisor, we called it predictive maintenance. And that is, we always maintained our prayer life as somebody who maintains a prayer life and keeps it going day in and day out. You pray for the things. I see people in the fellowship that they'll take notes every time. I've noticed one lady does this all the time. She'll take notes when somebody says, "Well, would you help me pray for whoever?" And she'll take a note. And I said, "Okay, she's fixing to do some praying, you know." She does it all the time. And she just started out here within the last few months. And that's something that we as Christians, we fall back from doing so much because it doesn't seem productive to us. You know, I don't know. That's just way, you know, I'm going by my experience here. You know, I feel more like a works-oriented type of ministry when it ought to be on your knees type ministry, just like Leonard Ravenhill was talking about there. We ought to be praying more. We ought to be, and I don't know if, you know, y'all hear me mention sometimes, I've even related on the Bible study about Andrew Murray. He's always talking about praying and getting in that quiet place and not saying anything, just waiting on the Lord and know that His presence is there. And then once you understand that His presence is there, and then he starts communicating and telling the Lord how much he loves him, how much, you know, he appreciates everything that he's done for him. And then he goes into what he needs, you know. But first of all, just like the prayer that's in Matthew, somebody help me here. Missy, where is it? The prayer that when the disciples asked the Lord, said, how are we supposed to pray, Lord? Our Father who art in heaven. Is that Matthew 13?
Matthew 6.
Okay, that's okay. Matthew 6. But I was almost right. Anyway, Matthew 6. And if you go through that prayer, the first thing he does, our Father who art in heaven. Well, he makes who he is, you know. Hallowed be thy name. He's telling the Lord, you're so holy, Lord, you know. Let me get to it here. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's holy. Thy kingdom come. His kingdom. Come where? Down here to us. Thy will be done. We know that's going to happen. Thy will be done. As in heaven, he says, so here on earth too. So he wants us to walk in heaven with him, you know, while we're still here. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, he's getting ready he's asking, Lord, give us what we need today and forgive us our debts. Now he's asking for forgiveness. As we also have forgiven our debtors, you know, and that's something you better do. Bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There's some more asking for things from the Lord. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, and da da da. So that's typically the way the Lord asks us to pray. And first we meditate on the Lord and make sure that the Lord is with us in our wherever it is that we go to pray, you know. I know different people have different things. I like to walk and pray myself, but and I do. I like to go out in the woods and pray. I do. I just me. Not when it's real cold, though. I don't like it that when it's real cold. I just pray up here in the bedroom. And I like to pray out loud. I know some of you pray silently, but that's just the way I was taught. I just prayed out loud, and I like to pray out loud. And anyway, that's just my thoughts on prayer. And what the problem is with me is that, you know, when you're praying, you can think of 19 different things that you need to be doing in the flesh rather than praying. You say, man, if I don't do that, this, that, da, 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 da. The main thing we ought to be doing is interceding for each other. And the things that, like the lady I was talking about, be making notes about what everybody's needing prayer for. You know, Dave's son, those people that miss his neighbors, and Marlon and Gaynold and all these others, you know, we just need to be sure that we have a list of all of those things we need to be praying about and for, and then do it every day. After you pray one time, then you start thanking God. Lord, I just thank you that Marlon's healed. I thank you, Lord, that Missy's friend's going to come to the Lord in a mighty way, you know, and all of those type of things. Prayer brings revival too. Evan Roberts, they said he prayed from the time he was 10 years old till he was 23 for revival. That's what happened. He had revival. Anybody else, any thoughts on prayer life? Mine has been lacking too much. It's been late. And I can tell you something else. Because it has, sometimes you miss a step, don't you? You miss a step. I do. I have. I just admit it, you know. I miss a step. When I miss a step, it hurts people. So anyway, that's my thoughts on it. How about you, Dave?
I was wondering what you meant by miss a step, I guess.
It's not your business.
Oh, okay.
Well, if you think about it, when you don't pray, you're susceptible to the enemy, right? You are. So that's what I was talking about.
One of the things I was concerned about with prayer, and if we're not doing it enough, how are we supposed to get close to God? Yeah. How are we supposed to know the Lord? How are we supposed to be tuned into His voice and know that He's talking to us if we're not talking to the Lord? Now, I can't pray. I haven't been it. Well, I work. That's part of the problem and the activity in my life. But I can't, I don't necessarily pray all at once, at one time, consistently before I got to get moving and doing something. But I do pray during the day often, you know, when something comes up in my mind, then I pray about it then. But at the same time, I was thinking, and I came across that passage, it was, it doesn't apply, but it kind of bothered me. And I think about it as Matthew 7:23, it says, and then I will tell them, I never knew you, depart from me. And it's not like you're working, practicing lawlessness, but I'm thinking, Jesus, if we're not in touch with God and we're not trying to get close to Him, isn't that kind of a relationship thing we're missing out on? I mean, that's the whole point. He wanted to have fellowship with us, and that bothers me a lot that I can't spend that time and listening when you talk to, also when you brought up, who was that guy? You just talked about it in prayer.
Andrew Murray or Evan Roberts?
When you read him last time.
Andrew Murray.
Correct. It was about coming into the presence of God, coming in the presence of Jesus, you know, getting in that throne room and being there with Him. I it'd be so nice, I think. I mean, that's where we all want to be in anyways. To be the bride, we'd want to be in that throne room, you know. I hate to think and become like religious people and you just kind of walk the walk and not really be directed, you know, not really be in tune with the Lord and knowing that's where you should be. I mean, I'm thankful that I get passages every day and He gives me places to think and go. And many times when I hear David talk and you guys talk, it's I've already been kind of clued in on that during the week with the Lord, and it's kind of kept me in step to know, hey, I'm on the right track, this is where I should be, I'm walking and I'm listening to where I need to be with the Lord. But it doesn't mean that I'm getting any closer personally than I need to be. And I don't know if you feel that too. It's like you think there's that something missing, and you know there's something that you need to drive forward and get beyond. And you know, it's really just getting close to the Lord and hearing Him speak and talking to Him and having that one-on-one fellowship. That's what I think is the biggest thing that we feel that we're missing. I feel like that's not where I need it to be. You know, I can, like most, we can get scriptures of a prophetic knowledge, if we can share it and we can bring each other closer to the Lord and what He's telling us. And it's really nice that He does that. And he keeps us tuned in. He lets the prophets know what's going to happen before it happens. In other words, He keeps His people informed. We see that happen in His body a lot. And we're also thankful for that. But this, to get that closeness and with the Lord, with the prayer time, with that one-on-one thing, that personal touch, I mean, that's the most desirable thing I think I have in my heart that I want, that I still don't have. I can say that honestly. That's one of the things that really I strive to have. I just wanted to share that, I guess. That's, I don't know if other people have the same ideas or same.
Oh, yeah. I agree, Dave. I want that closeness that I've read about. Do you remember that film we saw last week, The Hunger of God? When Dave, Paul Washer was running out there in the woods of East, West Texas, throwing rocks at the Lord because he wanted that. You know, he did that for 7 days. He was asking the Lord, I want more. I'm tired of reading about it. I'm tired of hearing other people talk about it. I want that experience myself. And then John G. Lake did the same thing for a year. He sought after the Lord for more. And they said, John, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, no, I'm not filled. I don't feel like I'm filled, you know. But he was speaking in tongues at the time. But he said, there's more. I want more. And then both of those guys, after they did that for months and months and months and months, finally the Lord showed up and just rained on them the glory of God that went through their whole being and their spirit. And I listened to Tom Kruger back when he came on a few years ago and told about the time that he would, when he was in that wreck or he hurt himself, actually died, and then he went to heaven, and he could just tune in to the Lord at will, it seemed like. And that's what I want. I want to be able to, like Dave said, I want to be able to tune in to the Lord at will. But you know what? Are we willing to sacrifice our time to do that, to gain that? That's the question God asks us. And I'm asking the Lord to place it in me to do that, whatever it takes. I don't know. You know, it's not about works. It's about just getting in tune with the Lord. I don't know. That's just what I think. What do you think, Dave?
And when Tom mentioned that, you know, I look at what he experienced. He experienced heaven. He died. He talked to Jesus. He had this. Yeah, definitely had an awakening, you know. But I look at what he did and what he experienced. And then afterwards, he said, then he got into his prayer life. Then his prayer life came alive. He would go home at night and he wouldn't even eat supper. He would just spend a few hours or more in his bedroom just praying. And he said he would get there and he would continue praying until he got that breakthrough. And then he would almost like he could hear the conversations going on around him with the angels. And
remember when he said what he said when he was in the hospital and he had come back, you know, and he said, it wouldn't take me but just a minute to get in the spirit realm with the Lord. And he said after he went to, what do they call it, rehab, and he had to spend time in the rehab room trying to get him learning how to walk and how to do all that stuff again, how that he lost contact. And then it would take him 2 hours to tune into the spirit realm with the Lord. And that it would take him, and then when we went down to Florida and saw him down there and talked with him and had lunch with him, he said, even now it takes me about 2 hours. Okay, I get that. Do it for me, Lord, in 2 hours. And I read about, when we heard about Paul Washer, and we heard about Lake, how it took them months and months and months to get into that. And they stayed in it and stayed in it. Remember what Washer said? He said, I still can feel it, just like it was the day it happened 20 years ago. And that's what I want. I want to be able to tune in to the Lord. Ain't but one way to do that, and that's sacrifice your time for the Lord. He did. It's not that we work, but go ahead, Dave.
Who was the guy that would sleep in the log, or basically hibernate a lot of prayer.
G.V. Bevington, is that it? Something like that.
I remember that. That sounded crazy, but, you know.
Well, that was just one time. Maybe four, maybe half a dozen. I don't remember. He spent a lot of time in hollowed out logs. I know that. He spent 10 days in one of them things one time and said he got a little bit hungry and said, asked the Lord, said, Lord, bring me something to eat. And squirrels brought him acorns. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've had acorns. And them things, they're nasty. I'd have to be awful hungry. But anyway, that's what happened. But he, if you read those, as Dave was talking about this guy, he didn't do anything without praying. But he always prayed the prayer of importunity rather than the prayer of faith. And by that, he would pray and pray and pray until God gave him the faith to believe that what he was fixing to do was going to happen, rather than just go ahead and praying it and believing from that point on and go on and do it because God's already got it done for you. But it taught us a lesson that if you don't have enough faith, just pray until you do, and it'll happen. That's the prayer of importunity. And then there's a prayer of faith, which is next. That's when you just pray and believe and go on. And then there's the great prayer. The most spectacular prayer is the prayer of when everybody prays together, one or two or more gathered together in my name. You know, that is the most powerful prayer right there when you got two or more praying with you. What's that?
Prayer of agreement.
Prayer of agreement, yeah. Thank you, Matt. I knew that. I would just check and see if y'all did. Anyway, that's the most powerful one right there. And we've seen that happen, haven't we? We've seen the prayer of agreement just, pow, man, it's powerful. It's powerful when you pray and believe. Okay, anybody else? Go, Missy. Yeah.
Okay. Our question.
That's
when you
enough.
Were asking, now, how...
Go
ahead. You were asking about, was it how long we pray or how... When you asked that question, did you mean, like, praying nonstop or accumulated through the day?
No, I'm talking about nonstop.
Okay.
You know, first time in the morning. Yeah, I know that we all pray during the day, but I'm talking about when you first get up in the morning or whenever you go to bed, one or the other, and you concentrate your efforts during that one time in prayer. That's what I meant, you know. I know that we all pray during the day. That's not what I was looking for. I was looking for that special time with the Lord where we spend time alone with Him, getting our prayer closet, so to speak, and seek the Lord and seek His presence and understand that His presence is there before we ever open our mouth. That's what I was talking about. And I'm sorry I didn't qualify that before I asked the question. I ain't going to ask it no more. Anyway. All right, is anybody else? Did you have something else, Missy? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say my biggest time when I pray is when I go out and walk. But that's not always completely consistent. Most of the time, you know, when I go walk is when I pray. So but that's my biggest time.
Yeah, that's when I like to pray too, is when I'm walking. And I generally walk for at least an hour, maybe a little bit more. And I'm generally praying in the Spirit during that time. But actually, what I was actually referring to was our time alone to get in contact with the Lord. And Andrew Murray talks about, you know, Missy, we talked about that before. In that book that he has, some of them, Intercessory Prayer or whatever it is. Yep, that's, and then there's another some more good books by E.M. Bounds. Anybody ever heard of him? E.M. Bounds. He was a Civil War veteran from Missouri. And he wrote a bunch of books on nothing but prayer. And you can get those on used bookstores online if you so desire. I recommend it. I always enjoyed reading about that and getting myself pumped up for a day or so, you know, and then back down again. But I want to be able to get to the place, and we need to pray that tonight if y'all want to where we consistently pray all the time and get into the presence of the Lord. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Joe, did you have your hand up? Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was just going to say, I tend to agree with what you and Dave and others have said. I don't think I've got anything personally, you know, myself that's unique compared to others. It's a bit of everything I hear. You know, I can relate with everybody probably. Like you said, when you first get praying and you have like 19 things come to mind in the flesh, that was a big thing. But I think with me, because I remember when I first got on here, you said something, Michael. You were, I forget if you said it was a time in your life, you were really just like you were up against the wall. And that's when you said you really prayed. If that's what you were talking about, I believe, you said you felt like your back was against the wall or you really felt like you needed to pray. And that was my same, my experience, you know, back in the beginning of 2012 there, you know, and I felt like my back was against the wall. And yeah, but my biggest thing, I mean, and I think I had the everyday distractions, but it wasn't an issue. Because, I mean, I think it was more of like, I felt literally, yeah, my back was against the wall. I mean, I was dealing with like schizophrenia and so many things. But also, you know, like you said, it's a very laborious prayer. And I said, you know, the moment you said that, I said, yeah, that's exactly what it was. I mean, I could feel my flesh, the demons in me fighting me every step of the way. You know, I mean, and I had some pretty powerful times. I mean, you know, this chair I'm sitting in, it's like a family. I don't even know if it's a family heirloom. It comes from my dad's side of the family, you know, an old antique chair, you know. But the apartment I used to live in, and about 30 minutes from here, you know, where I was born and raised. Yeah, I mean, just times of just sitting there in the quiet, like I could be right here in my bedroom, just quiet. You know, I don't have anything praying, but I would get quiet and I would just pray, or I'd have some worship music on, and then I kind of get into the right, you know, mindset. And it would just get quiet, you know, because I think for me, it's like all the little sounds and stuff tend to just, you know, distract me. So if I were to go outside and walk around, it'd have to be like at like two in the morning or something like that. But it's here, just sitting here in this chair and like being quiet. That was really, you know, that helps me. Or even, you know, the times when I would pray, it was like kneeling, you know, on a couch, you know, kneeling, but really striving. And I think that's the biggest thing that keeps me, is just, you know, there's those distractions. But it is, yeah, you labor, you know, you have to labor, you know, just to get in that, you know, in the Lord's presence at times. You know, you're so... I don't know if that's we're so set in the flesh. What is that exactly? But yeah, you know, you have to labor. It's like you're tilling some ground and you're tilling through rocks and trees or, you know, roots in the ground. You're really working, you know, you're really laboring to get in that place, you know, in the Lord's presence at times. And that's how it was for me, you know, because I mean, it was something I was not used to. And, you know, I was really going against the grain. So yeah, I can relate big time. So I think that's personally why I don't do it anymore, because I thought it was such a labor. I mean, it was such a, you know, yeah, I mean, it was such a hard thing to do against my, you know, flesh and really going against the grain. I thought, man, there's got to be an easier way to do this. But if not, then Lord, put it in me, you know, put that attitude back in me to go against the grain if I have to get in your presence, you know, no matter how long it takes. So
Amen. Amen. Y'all know who Y'all remember who Asa Alonzo Allen was? A.A. Allen. Yeah, you do. I just said his name. Asa Alonzo Allen from Arkansas. As a matter of fact, he's from Sulphur Rock, Arkansas. I remember the time when he said, he told his wife, he said, now, lock me up in this closet. I'm going to seek the Lord. And I don't want to come out of here until the Lord shows himself strong in me. So she shut the door and locked it. That evening, she got to frying some chicken in the kitchen, which was right next to where he was. And that smell of that chicken, oh, he couldn't stand it. He went beating on the door. He said, let me out of here. He went, got him some chicken, ate that. She said, I thought you was going to stay in there. He said, I just couldn't help it. He said, I love your chicken. So back to the closet he went the next day. And whatever it was she was cooking that afternoon, he couldn't handle it anymore. He beat on it. He come out. He did that two or three times. And finally, he just made up his mind. He was going to seek the Lord. It didn't make any difference if he starved to death right there in that closet. And so he did. And God did. He said it was just like streams of light came in there and lit up the whole closet. And just streams of God's glory going through him and telling him things. And just, oh, it's just awesome, you know, to read about it. And but he stayed in there for quite a while before God showed up. And then that's what it's going to take for us, is to make up our mind, absolutely surrender, as Andrew Murray says, absolutely surrender to the Lord during those times that we're seeking him. God will show you. He understands. If he sees that you're serious, he'll do it. But you have to make sure that you're serious about it. And he's going to test you to see. And once you do, guess what happens? The power of God's going to drop in on you. Not only is it going to drop in on you, it'll stay with you, because after you get it, you don't want to leave it. You don't want it to go anywhere. Remember what Washer said when he said that the power of God came on him? He said, I got up in a fetal position. I thought if he came any closer, I was going to just absolutely die from the glory and the pureness of God walking up to him, you know. Anyway, I'm tired of listening about it. I want to do it too. But do I want to do it to the point to where I sacrifice the other junk that comes around, you know, like we talked about? Yeah, I do, but Lord help us. Can we just pray about it? Is anybody else want that? Yeah, me too. I want that. Well, Father, we've heard about it. We've read about you. We want to experience it, Lord. I ask right now, Lord, and I pray that you place it in our hearts, every one of our hearts. The perseverance to see this thing through, to get our hearts to where we want more of you than we want anything else, to the point to where we only want you in our lives. We don't want any more of the flesh operating in us. Lord, put that in us. Put that persevering faith to believe that you're doing it right now in each one of our hearts, and that we seek you and run after you with all of our hearts, with an absolute surrender of our flesh and the world at your altar, Lord. And I thank you that you're going to do it in every one of us. In Jesus' name, if somebody else wants to pray, go right ahead. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Dave. Did you have something? Well, I just saw where you unmuted.
Yeah. Father, we just want a breakthrough. We hear about the breakthroughs. We know people that experienced you firsthand. Well, we just don't want to wait till we have to get to heaven to see that and have that happen. You know, we just want to have that communion, that closeness with you, and be able to hear and feel you and understand what it is you're saying and thinking at the moment, and bringing us right into that presence where we know what it is you want, so we can just act accordingly the way we're while we're here, and fulfill what it is you need for us to do. Not necessarily because we're trying to work our way to heaven, Lord, but no, you were here for a short time, Lord, and we sure would like to make that time just very, very productive. And part of that is just having that closeness with you and be able to speak with you and knowing where your thoughts are, what you're thinking about, what you are concerns about, and what you want to see transfold, and how it is you want to work it through us. And I know all that's by faith too, Lord, but we also want to just have that tangible thing, that thing we can just grab hold of it and know that we're part of this, and we can see it, we can feel it with you. And it's something that you said to the Father. He says, our Father, I pray that they be one as we are one. And not only just the oneness with each other, but Father, we want to have that oneness with you and with Jesus, that we want to have that togetherness where we're all together, and we know it's going to happen when we're in heaven. We're all there with you at that glorious moment, and that's not something we're all looking forward to that, but while we're here, Lord, we want that. We want as much as that we can have now, so that we can just start walking that kingdom walk and feeling that presence and seeing that glorious kingdom of yours even now and while we're on this earth. We pray that we have that closeness, Father, that uniqueness. And you draw us into this all together in that kingdom. Let us all share that together, Father, not just individually. Let us all share that together as a group. Let us come together as a Philadelphia church, as Judah, as the first fruits, Father. Let us see that. Let us experience that. Let us come together. I ask that, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, so I'll tell you what, let's do while Sue's getting ready to pray. I'm going to reach over here and grab Joe's hand. Joe, grab my hand. Missy, grab my other hand over here. No, wrong hand. Yeah, that hand.
Wait a minute, now, I got Joe's other hand.
Everybody grab everybody's hand. And okay, Joe, you're not participating. You're grabbing somebody's hand. I'm not you, Joe B. I'm talking about Joe Britt. You better grab somebody's hand in the spirit realm. Thank you, Lord. Okay, go ahead, Sue. We're ready. We're ready.
Actually, I felt like the Lord wanted me to share a song.
Oh, man. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, hands, go ahead. I'm sorry. one thing that I feel like the Lord has done with me, and I know that it helps me a lot, is when I get up in the morning, if I have a song on my heart to sing it, and I look for songs, I ask for songs, sometimes for me to draw close to the Lord, and if I find a song that just draws me right to Him in the morning, it's going to bless me, and I'll be able to pray more effectively. But it has to touch my heart, you know, and it's like giving a love song to Him in the morning before I start out, you know. But Lord, I thank you, Father, for the songs that you give us, that gets us into you. Lord, help us to all be able to just immediately, like, Lord, and we know in the morning sometimes we've got all this stuff we got to do. Lord, just give us a song in our heart that withdraws right to you, Lord, that we would be able to experience your presence right away, Lord, that we would just be filled up with you. In Jesus' name, okay. With all my heart, I will follow after you.
with all my soul. I will praise you, O Lord, with all the strength that you have given me. I'll not be led astray with all my heart. I will walk in your way. I don't know if you all know that one or not, but it just was coming to me, and it's with our whole being, that when we start out with him and we get in touch with him, he'll wake up our whole being so that we can draw close to him and experience his presence in the morning, because that makes a difference with me. If I sing a song to the Lord, then I praise and worship him. It's like giving your husband a kiss in the morning, you know, kind of like, that's what's always helped me. But I mean, not to say that it happens every day, but that's always been my goal, to just worship the Lord in the beginning before I even pray, you know. So anyway.
Amen. That's good. Did you finish the song?
That's how long the song is, if you want me to sing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that was good. That was good. Okay, Missy, you going to sing one? There's a button you push.
There you go. Know. For some reason, it wasn't working for me.
Okay.
Well, earlier, I'm not sure if it was what you said or what Dave said, but what came to my mind was the song, I Need You More. And it goes, I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you more, more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. And Lord, as the time goes by, I'll be by your side, 'cause I never wanna go back to my old life. I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you more, more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. That's mostly the consistency of the song.
That's a good song too. I like that song. Yeah. It's an older one too. Yeah. That's good. Okay. Judy, you ready to sing?
What? I got one y'all can all join in on.
Okay, George, go for it, brother. I'll help you. Get up here close to the mic so you can hear me.
Yeah, I don't want it to be too painful, but then again, y'all love me anyway. What a fellowship, what a joy, divine leaning
on the everlasting arms.
What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, we're leaning on the everlasting arms.
Yeah, that's an old standard there, boy. That's a good one. Amen. Okay, Joe Britt, your turn. Step up here, brother. Grab the microphone. get your fiddle out. Here, let's go. Oh, for goodness. How about it, Monroe? You ready to sing us a song, brother? Oh, Man, Andrew got a good song. He looked like he's in pain. Come on, Andrew. Oh, my. Good gracious. You're going to have to unmute yourself. I can't hear you.
Well, the only one I can think of is the one where he sings every praise unto our God, every word of worship unto our God, every word of worship unto our God, every praise unto our God. God my Savior, God my healer, God my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. There's just a few words in that song, but it just always
up. Praise God. Yeah, that's a good one.
Especially, you know, since a little boy sang that and he got thrown out of the car that someone was kidnapping him.
Oh, is that the one he was singing?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm not 100% sure, but he was praising God, and the kidnappers just
told him to shut up, and he wouldn't shut up, would he?
And he threw him out of the car, so yeah. He was freed from that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was neat.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Angelica had put that on the blog. I believe it was one Friday. And I turned it on, and I had heard it before, maybe once before, a couple times or whatever, but I turned it on, and I was listening to it, and it just caught me, like, instantly. And I was instantly worshiping the Lord, and I was just dancing. I just loved it. I was, like, on cloud nine. I don't know what it was. It was just that it was the Lord, you know, just at that moment just like, caught me. And I was just like, wow, that was so much fun.
You know, yeah, you don't want to see me dancing around in my place here, but it happens occasionally. And the thing about it is now it's sometimes it just comes automated into on my lips there where I say, praise God. And then I say, hey, that's the song. Anyway, that's just wonderful.
Yeah, amen. Uh-oh, George has got something there. Is that it? I'll get it up there. I got to let it go. Is that the one, George? Where'd everybody go?
George put a little post up there. Let it rip.
Yeah, I got it up over here if y'all want to watch it. It's a little girl singing. Is that right? Let me see.
The one I'm familiar with is Hezekiah Walker that sings it.
Hezekiah Walker.
Is that the one you're talking about, Andrew?
Okay. Well, let me get it. Y'all go ahead and talk while I figure out how to find it.
That's the one that Angelica posted, and I was just,
Did something for you, did it, girl?
Yeah, it really got me.
Okay. Every Praise is the name of it, isn't it? Ah, there it is. Okay. Is that the one where he's dancing out in the street?
That's the one. That's the one I have anyway. I downloaded it.
Yeah. That's it. Let me share you here. Share. Computer. Okay, here we go. Oh yeah, I've seen this one. This is good.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. It's who I got. Every word of worship. With one accord. Every praise is to our God. Come on, everybody, sing hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Is to our God. Come on, say every praise. Say every praise. Is to our God. Y'all know how we do it. Take it up. Every praise. It's to our God. Every word of worship. With one accord. Come on, say every praise. Every praise. It's to our God. I want everybody all over the world to sing hallelujah. To our God. Glory, hallelujah. It's to our God. Every praise. Every praise. God. Let's take it up one more time. Every praise. Come on, everybody. Every word of worship. With one accord. Every praise. Every praise. It's to our God. I don't care how you're feeling right now. Sing hallelujah.
I wish somebody get excited about Jesus in here. Come on now. The God man, man, got me to dancing. I started to get up and dance, but I said, them people going to laugh at me. Glory to God, but I sure didn't want to. I'd get you going on it. I like that. I'll probably get on that after y'all get off. I just get up in here and dance myself. I can't imagine what David's thinking out there. They said, what is that guy doing up there now? Hear me clapping and dancing around up in here. I got to singing up in the other night. I said, you hear me singing up there? He said, I sure did. He said, I couldn't go to sleep because of it. Quit that, David. He said, no. I said, I couldn't sleep at all. Said, it was so terrible. I said, David, quit that. We brothers, boy. We're supposed to be encouraging one another. No, we have fun. Praise God. You ought to hear me when I get that shofar. Yeah, my shofar out, and I start blowing that thing up here. I get up on top of this mountain, I can blow that shofar. They can hear me in Knoxville. They might even be able to hear me in Nashville. I don't know. You know. Bouncing off these hills up in here. People down there say, Mabel, did you hear that? What's that out there I'm listening to? You hear that? I can imagine what they're saying when I do blow that thing. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your praise and worship songs. And the people who love to do it with you. Amen. Okay, we still got some more time left. Anybody else want to sing a song? Joe, you got one pulled up yet, Buck?
Just say one way.
Who is that? Barbara, you going to sing one? Oh, Wade, you going to sing one.
Just a praise and worship.
Yeah.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul,
rejoice.
Take joy, my
King. Joy, my King.
And what you hear, let be a sweet, sweet sound.
And you hear.
Taste away anything that don't belong.
Oh, man, that's great. That was great. You need to sing some more. Back in your closet somewhere. I mean out here too. That was good, Wade. It really was. That was awesome. I like that song, by the way. That's one of my favorite, one of my old time favorite.
It's the only one I know.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's a good song. One time in the local fellowship, they asked me to sing. I said, sure, I'll sing. I got up and sang Jesus Love Me. That's the only one I know all the way through. You know, I learned it when I was about this tall, all the way through high school. Okay, who else gonna sing one? We got enough time for one more. Megan, you want to? Shay or Megan, y'all want to sing one? Don't be scared. Come on, Megan. Shout one out, girl.
Sorry, I don't have any.
Which one?
Sorry, I don't have any.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you can sing along with us. Shay probably got one. Shay, you got one? Shalonda? Girl, you better wake up on that couch over there.
No, I don't have one.
You don't have one either? Okay.
I don't know how to put on this phone. I can play a song, but I don't know how to do it on the phone. I'm not on Zoom at the moment.
Just sing one.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll let you slide this time.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome.
All right, Barbara, you got one? Barbara.
Yoo-hoo.
sorry, I don't.
Oh, girl.
I'm sorry, I really don't.
Okay. Oh, that's okay. Has Bruce got one?
No, he's not here.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Now you put one up. Is that a good one?
He's got one.
Go ahead, Judy, sing. No. Yeah, that'd be fun. Okay, you go help her?
It would be for closing if you want to close out with.
You just go ahead and say it. We'll decide where we're going to close or not. If it's good enough, we'll stay open.
Well, we started out with the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord gave me this music to it years ago. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as within my life. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all harm. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, hallowed be thy name, hallowed be thy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hi, Judy, I didn't hear you singing.
Well, my mouth was moving.
Okay. I'll tell y'all something. When Sue and Debbie, or Denny and Debbie fame, when they get together and sing, it is awesome. We're going to have to get those two together one night and make them sing a song for two or 14. Anyway, they're good. They really are. They just started that here just a while back. And once they did it, it was an instant hit, the duo of Sue and Debbie.
They are awesome.
Yeah, yeah. But we wouldn't tell them that because get the big head and then they'd have to repent. No, it really is. It's good. Okay, does anybody else want to sing one before we get out of here? Or close? Missy, you want to sing another? Well, I'm just asking. Okay. Willie run off to? Okay.
There's a song that the Lord gave me. I don't think I sang this for y'all. No.
This one that you wrote?
What's the one the Lord gave me when I was one time? This tune just kept going through my head. I don't know if I was praying and singing in the spirit or what, but this tune came to me. It this was like maybe 5-6 years ago. Now I'm not sure, but anyway. And I was cleaning and this just came to me. This is how it goes. Now wait, Fudge, we don't need any comments. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Worthy of all praise. Glory, glory, hallelujah, He shed his blood for us. Glory and honor and praises, he took away our sin. Glory, glory, hallelujah, praises to our King. Glory, glory, hallelujah, he is our everything. Glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus is his name. Glory and honor and praises, the name above all names. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. We give praises to our King.
With a little backup from Fudge.
That's a good song. I like that song. That's a good one. That's a keeper, as they say.
Well, all the Lord's songs he writes are keepers.
Yeah, they are. They are. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests before we close out? Lord, I thank you for an awesome night. It's been really good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed people's comments. I enjoyed their singing. You know, when we sing our praises to you, Lord, it just sounds that so much better because we know they're going up to you with a sweet smell of incense. Thank you, Father, for helping us tonight, showing us about prayer, and place it in our hearts to do more, Lord. Place it in our hearts to start interceding for each other and the conference call itself, because, you know, we've got a little group here, but there's so many more out there that listen in and are affected by the things that go on in this conference call. And it's awesome to hear some of the testimonies of people emailing me and telling me about how great a time they had with us that night or whatever we were doing. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that next Thursday night we're going to have another good time because we're going to be praying in the Spirit and also praying for the conference call and what you want us to do in it. And, Lord, allow us to be led by your Holy Spirit all the time. And, Lord, we want your closeness and nearness to us at all times, and we desire to have you with us at all times. Fill us up again, Lord. We know that we're filled up by faith, and we just believe, Lord, that you fill us up and that we're ready to go for tomorrow. And we praise you for a good night's sleep tonight. Let everybody dream sweet dreams. And Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Be with us, protect us, and provide for us, Father, in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let me unmute her. Good night, everybody. It's been lovely tonight. Did it not unmute everybody? Yeah, there it is.
Amen. God bless everybody.